Blog Talk Radio.
Studios in Eugene, Oregon. It's Oregon Update with your host, Robin Simmons. The show that talks about everything and anything that's in the news regarding Oregon and the nation. You can join Robin by dialing our listener line at 646-721-9887. And now, here's your host, Robin.
Welcome to Oregon Update. I'm your host, Robin Simmons, along with my co-host, Cliff Wilson. How's it going today, Cliff?
Good morning, Robin, and how are you this morning?
I'm doing pretty good, actually.
All ready to get upset about Proposition 66 and 67?
Oh,
Are they propositions or are they measures?
They're actually measures.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what I thought. I've been biting at the bit on this particular situation, on the measures, and we've been hearing a lot of promotions for and against it, and of course the usual propaganda if you do your little bit of research on it. But before we get started, what I'd like to do is invite people to call in and express their opinions on this or any other subject that you have. But today's topic is Measure 6667. Our phone number is 646-721-9887. You can also join us in our chat room at www.blogtalkradio.com/KRBN. And something new to the show is we now have an email address that you can email us or give us show ideas or comments, and that's at talk@krbnradio.com.
I'd let them know, though, that we're not monitoring that right now, or at least I'm not, unless you are.
No, I'm not monitoring the... We are not monitoring the email system at the moment, but you can email that. The chat room is open. I am monitoring that, of course.
And the phone lines are open. What is the phone number?
And the phone lines are open. The phone number, once again, is 646-721-9887 if you'd like to call in and join in on the show.
Okay, Measure 66 and 67, perhaps understanding, of course, that we have people other places in the world than Oregon that are listening to this, we should tell them what that is. Do you have a condensed version available?
Actually, I do.
I didn't know if you did or not.
Well, if you'd like to go ahead and start, go ahead.
But the whole point is that Oregon, the state of Oregon, is raising your taxes. I mean, I don't care how you call it, how you word it. That's exactly what's happening. They want to raise the taxes. Mm-hmm. Now, interestingly enough, we're not talking about a whole lot of money. I mean, when you think about how not even a year ago the state of Oregon had to go through a cut of a couple billion dollars in income into the state, this is going to raise $733 million approximately, and they've come up with that figure somewhere. Now, of course, I would think it has to do with who goes into business or who. But as things sit right now, Measure 6667 would raise $733 million. Now, as the state budget goes, to be honest, that's not a lot of money.
No.
Our state budget is like, what, $13 billion or something like that? And so I'm not sure exactly what the figure is, but I think it's right around in there somewhere, $13 billion. So $733 million isn't going to make a lot of difference. One of the things that I get upset about, and the reason that I really want to get on here and do something is I don't like to be lied to, to begin with. And that's one of the things that's going on here a lot. We're being sort of held hostage. We're being told that all of the horrible things that are going to happen to us if we don't vote for this. And then the other side, of course, is telling us all the horrible things that are going to happen to us if we do vote for this. And in reality, no horrible things are going to happen at all. Simple as that.
Yeah, I agree with you in your assessment of that. Is one of the things that throws up a big red flag for me, for example, is when they say it's going to affect children, it's going to affect the schools, public education, and public safety.
Right.
You know, right there, because first of all, a lot of times that stuff doesn't go for that, but it's a method of trying to get your emotion and say, oh, it's going to affect the kids. We've got to vote for it because it'll affect the education and public safety.
But well, the simple fact of the matter is, I mean, I don't care what they say. They can spend it anywhere they want to.
Mm-hmm.
This business about it has to go here or it has to go there, the state does make those rules and regulations for cities and communities within the state that if they give them the money, it has to be spent in a certain place. But when the state is collecting the money from citizens, they can spend it anywhere they want to, and there's nothing we can do about that. They make the rules, folks. Hell, they're the ones coming up with the tax, and so they can spend it anywhere they want to. So the idea is that it's going to do this and it's going to do that, and they pick the things that are going to worry us the most. They pick the things that are going to bother us the most to tell us, and that's my problem. They're lying to us. They're feeding us a bunch of junk to get us to vote their way. Either system, either side, the pluses, the yeses or the noes, either side are feeding us a bunch of crap just to get us to believe what they want us to believe.
Right. Well, and did you realize that both of these measures, 66 and 67, the money goes straight into the general fund?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They can spend it anywhere they want to. Simple as that. And that's the whole idea, and that's fine. And the people who are saying, well, you don't want to vote for it because our taxes are too high, in reality, if you look at it, the state of Oregon is not much higher than a lot of other places. There are a few states that don't pay much tax. For example, you know, Alaska doesn't pay hardly any tax, but we don't have the luxury of having $50 billion worth of oil going out of our state every week. So that pays back their taxes. But the simple fact of the matter is, Oregon is about in the middle. We're not a high-tax state. We're not a low-tax state. And this business of this whole thing, taking, you know, bringing in $733 million, is it worth it to have this big a hassle about it?
Well, that's true. And the argument, one of the arguments is that if you make less than $125,000 for individual filers or $250,000 for joint free household income, and raising taxes on the corporate, that is not going to affect you, especially the increase in corporate tax. Yes, it will affect you because businesses are not going to take a loss. They're going to pass that on, for one thing.
Okay, I hate to tell you this, but do you know how much it's raising? I mean, at the most, it's 2%.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, any business that can't And we're talking about businesses that make over $250,000 a year, small businesses. And I see this thing on television all the time that they're in this little, you know, mom and pop grocery store, and how they're gonna have to go out of business or fire somebody or whatever. It's a bunch of crap. It's not gonna make that big a difference. I mean, like I say, we're only raising $733 million, and that's through everybody everywhere. And so it's not going to be a huge amount of money. What was it I saw that a business that makes $500,000 a year is only going to have a $4,000 difference in their taxes? And I don't think you need to fire somebody because you're out $4,000. If you're only paying somebody $4,000, then you shouldn't be in business anyway.
Right. Yeah, I think I saw somewhere, and I'm going through my notes trying to find it, where they said that one of the taxes is based on your gross that the company does. And, of course, that's just money right off the
well,
top.
See, the gross tax is the one that we're talking about, the $10 thing.
Mm-hmm.
The people that are saying, well, you know, I used to pay $10 and now I'm going to pay a huge amount of money. Well, those people are only going to pay $150. The difference between the minimum of $10 and the new minimum is going to be $140 difference. In other words, you're going to pay $150 now instead of $10 if that's where you qualify. What we've got to do is get rid of all of the loopholes that are in the tax system that we have now, because that's what's you know, basically your bigger businesses are taxed on net profit. Mm-hmm. Well, if I'm a big business, I'm going to find a great way of telling everybody, well, I didn't make any profit. I had to spend it on this. I had to spend it on that. I had to spend it on something. I'll find out something. I'll come up with something. So I didn't make any profit. So I'm still not going to pay anything except the base, you know, $150 now.
Right. But other companies may argue that, or nonprofit groups may argue, we receive large donations from these companies because they can use us as a direct write-off, and that's going to stop if we get rid of those loopholes.
Well, there are some. That's not a loophole. I mean,
those tax deductions, I mean.
See, this all actually fits together. Now, if you want to talk about that, one of the problems we have with that is the big companies are not going to stop doing the donations that they can take off of their taxes, because that does give them some money back. If they did stop and end that, then the state can't do that, because if they stop those taxes, if they remove that loophole, so to speak, which I don't think it's a loophole, but anyway, if they remove that, then the state's going to have to fill in the gap. So the state is going to have to make up that difference in money.
Mm-hmm.
So because either that or because, see, all of these different charity organizations are filling in the different needs that the citizens have, that the state doesn't have to do that. And if the charitable organizations are not going to fill those in, then the state's going to have to pick it up. The money has to go, you know, people have to have the services, people have to have the ability to have the help one way or another, whether it's a charitable organization doing it or whether it's the state doing it, it's going to be there. But then the state has a tendency, the state has a tendency to spend the money poorly and not manage it properly. But if you take a look at some of these charitable organizations, they're even worse. Some of them are really good, but some of them are nothing more than lining somebody's pocket.
And that's one of the things that hits a sour note with me, is the way the state seems to spend the money, you know, federal government too, but I guess since I used to own a business, some people would say that, you know, I got budget for this, but I don't have budget for that. Well, it's still right pocket, left pocket, still the same pair of pants. It's a matter of priority. I'll refer to Portland, for example. And under the Portland City Charter or the Constitution, whatever you call it, they have a certain percentage of city funds has to be set aside for art. Great. In good times, no problem. I got no problem with that. But in bad times, art is not a necessity. You know, we need, like you say, schools.
Well, Sally is.
What's that?
Sally is.
Maybe art
isn't, but never mind.
I got it. I was a little slow on the uptake on that one. Okay. But those types of things are not priorities. You know, if you got streets that are falling apart, you don't have enough money for police and for protecting the citizens or basic city services, but you can come up with the money for art, that's where I think the priorities need to be re-looked at.
Well, you see, here's the thing. The simple fact of the matter is the world has changed, ready or not, and consequently, we are not going to have as much money in the state budget or the federal budget, for that matter, to do what the things that we do. Are you aware of why? Are you aware of the fact that we have to be a little more equal with the rest of the world? We can't sit here and be competitive with the rest of the world with our pay structure and our wage structure and our spending structure the way it is, because the rest of the world is doing things a lot cheaper than we are. They've had it rough, and they haven't gotten this fat cat attitude that the United States has. That's why, for example, our exports and our gross national whatever it is going down because we can't compete with these other countries. That's the problem with Mexico. We can't compete with the wages and the and the manufacturing things that happen in Mexico, but we have to. We absolutely have to. So everything has to equate. Everything has to equalize. That's why this big financial problem is a worldwide problem. It's not just a United States problem. We've had these things before, and it was always a problem in the United States. But this is a worldwide problem. And the world, us more than most of people, but us, the world, is going to have to suffer for a while. We'll work it out. We'll figure out how to make things at the same price that Mexico does so that we can make a car and compete somewhere else. And we're doing some of this right now. But that's what we've got to do. Everything has to get equalized. Ready or not, and I know for years and years and years and years, everybody has fought this one world government idea. I'm not talking about advocating a one world government. We are going to have a one world financial system, ready or not. It's just going to have to happen because we can't compete anymore. Japan did the same thing. They priced themselves out of the market, and they're hurting too.
And I agree with you, except for on one thing, is that we are pricing ourselves out of the market in the fact we're increasing our overhead. I remember a couple months back, Microsoft was complaining about a federal increase in taxes, and they're saying that the cost of business just in taxes is getting to the point that they're thinking about leaving the country and going somewhere else. I also remember a case in your area, Cottage Grove. I can't remember the name of the company, but they made those little squeezable flashlights.
Okay.
And one of the things that they did is they would have people that are retired do it on piecework, and they pay them, I don't know, a couple cents a piece for doing it. And it was a way for retired people to make extra money, and they loved it, you know. But then the state came in and said, hey, these people here are employees.
Right.
You got to make up all these taxes and make them all employees. And the owner said, no, they're not. They're piece workers. They're doing their own time. They're not even in my shop. And he finally said, well, you know, I'm either going to do one or two things, and I'm going to close it down, or I'm going to move my business to Taiwan.
And that's exactly what's happening. You don't even have to go to Taiwan. Just move it to Mexico. It's no big problem. But the thing is, we've got – that's another whole show. This is the politically correct show. We are politically correcting ourselves to death is exactly what we're doing, and we've got to stop that. It's in a lot of ways this politically correct thing. I mean, the kids in school are no longer learning anything in school because they've got to be so worried about being politically correct. They can't talk. They can't do anything. They can't say anything. And it's pervasive everywhere, this politically correct thing. We're letting the minority rule the world.
That's true.
That's supposed to be the way it is. But anyway, this whole thing, you know, this whole thing about this tax, okay, we're talking about $733 million. Okay, right off the bat, I'm going to say right now, I'm going to vote yes on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it really doesn't make any difference. It's such a minimal amount. What I am mad about, what I am absolutely furious about, is the special election. There's a 92-page book out, the election pamphlet, voter pamphlet, is 92 pages. 92 pages. 85 pages of that is junk.
Yeah.
Who's getting rich on this? Who's pushing this? I mean, from the way I look at it, I can't see anybody making a lot of money or losing money on this 66-67 thing. So obviously I'm seeing something wrong. Who is making the big bucks, or who is losing the big bucks with this? Because somebody's spending a lot of money on it that doesn't need to be spent.
Well, and that's an excellent issue, too. Who's paying for the pamphlet?
That's what I want to know. And I mean, how much does this special election cost us?
Right.
And does it, you know, I don't think it costs us $733 million, but this stupid special election is going to cost us so much money that the $733 million is going to be dwindled radically, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean.
Well, and another part about it being a special election is that if you notice on your tax forms, if you're getting ready to file your Oregon 1040, They are asking people not to file until February 1st. And the reason for that is because of the changes in the tax code. You may owe money or you may get less money, but they're asking people to hold off until February 1 of this year.
That's just for people's convenience, because then it makes it difficult because the state's going to have to come after you to get the extra money.
Mm-hmm.
And that costs money. But and that's the thing, that all of this stuff costs money. We have an election every 2 years, a regularly scheduled election every 2 years. We can, I say yes, can schedule things for that particular point and not have to do these special elections. This is just getting so ridiculous that these special elections are costing us huge amounts of money. This is the second one in less than a year's time.
That's right. And I agree with you.
We've got to stop doing that. I mean, I understand, and I agree with the idea that if you can gather enough signatures on an initiative or on a, you can force an election. But that doesn't mean it has to be tomorrow, for God's sakes. I understand why this one has to be so quickly, because the state wants the money.
Right.
And that's the other ridiculous part. The state doesn't need the money. We've got to learn how to live on less than what we're spending. And it's going to happen, whether it happens this year or next year or the year after. I mean, you know, it's just happening.
And I agree with you 1,000% on that one. And that gets back to my point about budgeting and priorities. In fact, if I could here, I'd like to read a comment that's on my daily blog here, which is at blogspot.com. robinwonders.blogspot.com, on this issue. This is from Anonymous. It says that if this was simply a decision to vote on a new tax or not, it might be cut and dry. What I'm upset is that the waste of money in the process and the lies that are being banded out. Okay, I'm dyslexic. Give me a break. This is the second special election in less than a year, kind of making your point and who's paying for it. I'm going to skip forward. Basically, he's saying that we need to pass a majority law that says if anyone elected to office gets caught in a lie, or any lie, they need to be removed from office and never hold public office again. It's kind of off the point, but it also kind of makes the point of when you...
No, I don't think it's off the point at all. I think it's right directly on the point, because I see politicians, public officials, laughing about the fact that they're lying about things. They're lying to us. They lie to us to get elected. And they know it, and they do it on purpose and quite carefully. And then they go on and get elected, and then they do exactly what they want to do no matter what it is, and which means they're lying to us again because they're not representing us. And that's what the idea of electing someone is supposed to be, isn't it? Is to have someone represent us, and we're not being represented.
No, like you said, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, but then it's our fault too, because we aren't doing anything about it.
Agreed, and my argument's been, you can say anything to get elected. Once in, it takes an act of God to get you out. We don't have a checks and balance in the system, and I know this is getting off topic, but one of the things I've suggested is like borrowing a little bit from Parliament, where they have a system that a vote of no confidence can get you out. So it kind of holds their people more in tune.
We have a system, but it's called impeachment, and it's hard to do.
Correct. And the only time anybody worries about it is if somebody is cheating on their wife in office.
Which is one of the things that I think they shouldn't worry about. I don't give a damn if they're cheating on their wife. I do give a damn if they're putting in a law about taxes that discriminates against me.
Right.
Cheating on their wife doesn't affect me. I don't care.
No, that's between him and his wife, and I think you probably know the politician I'm referring to, but
yes, half of them.
Half of them, that's right. But back to this, I want to touch a little bit on, you know, back to the corporate tax increase. One of the arguments in increasing the corporate minimum tax, for example, is they said that a lot of small organizations do not file as a corporate entity, which I disagree with, because it's actually recommended as a small company to either become incorporated or file as a LLC, which is a little bit cheaper.
Okay. Well, now, wait a minute. But LLC is what they're talking about. That's mm-hmm. not an incorporation, and it doesn't have the same rules.
Right.
And so that's what they're talking about. Everybody's doing the LLC thing now and opting out of being a corporation.
Right. The article that I read, though, was commenting that most people just stay as a small entity. They don't take the extra step to do the protection as an LLC or register as a corporation.
Yeah.
Where the article was kind of indicating that most of the smaller businesses do not register as LLC or.
Well, you know, interestingly enough, with the kind of crap that we're going to and talking about right now, there's going to be an awful lot of really, really small businesses that are not even going to register as a business. They're just going to do things, and nobody's going to know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's going to be an awful lot of people that stop paying their taxes.
Yeah, agreed. As you get to the point in this recession, I'll say it again: in this recession, people. That money's tight.
Okay, and that's fine. My point right from the beginning is this recession is not going to go away. This is no longer a recession. This is an adjustment, folks, and we're going to have to live with it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's, in my opinion, things have got to change worldwide. The rest of the world is learning to live with it as well as we are. So there's going to be a lot of changes have to be made. And so, you know, look at Social Security. What was Social Security? It was originally set up so that you could put in a little money every year for your entire life, and then when you're old and ready to retire, that money can then come back to you. But how many people right today, I mean a huge percentage of people, are collecting Social Security? I know kids that are collecting Social Security. They've never worked a day in their life. But they're getting Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
I know many, many people that are collecting Social Security that are not old enough to retire. And that then they worry about the fact that it's going broke. Well, of course it's going broke. You're throwing the money away. You're spending it in places this was never intended to be spent at. I mean, that's the problem. We have got to convince people to make a decision and stick with it.
Agreed. Yeah, Social Security was originally created, I think it was called the Townsend Act, and it was basically supposed to be the poor man's retirement plan.
Mm-hmm. And I'm a poor man, believe me. And boy, at this particular point, it's not enough to live on.
Right. And again, we get back to the taxes. I have no problem with taxes if they're spent wisely. What I do have a problem, and I'm repeating myself, is in a tough times like we are, the foo-foo programs need to be set aside until we get our act, get things going again. And the one way to get the economy back online is actually to lower taxes, put money back into people's hands, which would, of course, create more supply and demand. Businesses would then start starting up again, and then the government in the long run is actually going to make more money.
Okay, now we get down to my point. I said this once before when we were talking. You're talking about the foo-foo things that we're spending money on.
Right.
Here's one of the things that's going to help get rid of that problem. It's one of the things that's going to solve that problem, and that is 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
A law cannot remain a law after 5 years. They all expire after 5 years. That would get a lot of this crap off the books, and we would then have to sit down and take a look at what it did or what it didn't do, how much it cost us or didn't cost us, and then we could re-vote on it or we could redo it or whatever. But after 5 years, it drops off the books unless we put it back on. It doesn't mean we can't do it again, but I'll bet you a lot of them would change.
Well, the argument against that, I just hear it, is, okay, in addition to the 4,000 laws that the Oregon legislature passed this year, now they got another 2,000 or 3,000 they got to review because they're expiring.
Which means they're going to be busy enough, they're not going to do the original 4,000. We're going to end up with 4,000, but it's going to include the ones that are expiring.
Correct.
They've only got so much time. And so coming up with all of these, like you say, foo-foo laws is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody goes out and sprains their finger sticking it in the dike, and we make a law that says you can't stick fingers in dikes, you know, and that's stupid. Again, politically correct. I'm tired of the state protecting me from me or this politically correct thing. It's you know, just because John Doe screamed because somebody called him a bad name doesn't mean we need to make a law against calling him that name. And we have, that's the kind of stupid laws we got. Guess what? We're out of time.
No, we got, says my, we got 29 minutes. Well, we're doing okay.
Oh, we're doing an hour?
We're doing an hour.
Oh, okay. I thought we were doing half an hour. Okay.
No. So we're not out of. Yeah, you must not have got the memo.
Really? Exactly. Well, I tell you, I went online and I saw some of these people. Who's paying for all of this advertising?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I got in my hand a thing paid for by the what is it called here? If I can see it, it's the I know it's on here somewhere. The Vote for Oregon Coalition. www.yesfororegon.org. Okay, who is this? Where are they getting the money, and why?
Well, and what do they get out of it?
Well, that's okay, but and I understand the that I'm sure that the people that this is the vote yes for this proposition or this measure, mm-hmm. these measures. Okay, I understand that somebody in the government is paying for that because they're the ones who benefit from it. Who is paying? Because I see huge amounts of advertising on television and on and stuff that was sent to me against this. These two measures. Who pays for that? Who's spending the money for that? And why? Why are they so upset? I mean, if you're talking about a difference of $140 a year, you know, for the small businesses that are only paying the 10 or whatever it's supposed to be, or 2%, I mean, it costs an awful lot of money to spend to television ads.
Definitely.
How many?
And these are obviously professional put-together ads. In fact, if anybody's interested, they are posted on YouTube. The one that Cliff is talking about is Vote Yes for Oregon. If you go to YouTube, you will see the three ads that they have on there. There's not much information about the company in the profile, but no, you're right. They are very professional put-together ads. In fact, if you look at the standby picture on the one I'm staring at right now, you got a picture of a smokestack with black smoke coming out of it, like a fear. You know, we need to do
it. And then there's the one against it, this dairy farmer gal that's against it. And she lays all of this information on you. I was reading on the internet that most of that is a lie. For example, her business, her dairy farm, doesn't actually make enough money for her to pay the extra taxes. She makes less than $250,000 a year on her dairy farm. Last year was $192,000, whatever it was. But she personally, because she has other businesses going on, and she won't divulge what all of that is. But you know, so if what's going on here that she won't divulge, and the thing is. So she personally makes over the $250,000. So it gets down to a personal thing. So who's paying for this, and how personal is it, and how much money is involved here? I just, you know, when you're talking about a television ad that's going to cost you what? Television ads per minute cost, you know, $3,000-$4,000, depending on the station, and especially since you're putting it on all the stations. Somebody's spending a huge amount of money on these commercials. How do they justify that?
That's an excellent point. You know, for, like you say, where does the money come from? Why are they putting in so much effort? I mean, it's the only thing is follow the money, per se.
Well, the only thing is you know, I'm trying. I've been online for the last 3 days, reading information, finding information, getting everything I can about this. There's a couple of things that I can't find. One is why. Where there's a lot of money involved somewhere, and I'm not seeing it. It's not the tax itself. The tax itself is not really that much money. I mean, it's just really not. If you're a company that makes $10 million and you have to pay $100,000 extra tax, I'm telling you, if you're a company that's made $10 million and you can't afford $100,000, we've got a problem there.
Yeah,
we've got a major problem.
where does it stop, though? I mean, like for example, the corporate tax, for example. Yeah, $10, $150 isn't that much to a corporation. But that's not the only taxes they pay. I mean, we've got, for example, you know, I'm going to, again, based on my experience of being a former business owner, I had to pay what's called a self-employment tax, which goes to LTD, the local bus here. I've never ridden that bus. I hope I will never have to ride that bus, but by golly, I paid for that bus. And
well, then you better start riding it.
I may have to start riding it in this economy. But that's just one of, the points. And there's another thing that a lot of people don't know unless you actually own a business. In Oregon, there's a thing called a personal property tax. I've labeled it the TP tax because, again, when I found this out when I had my business, whoever owns the business as of March 1st is responsible for the tax for the year before. This tax is based on the real value of all equipment, your displays cases, your clocks, your signage, including your cleaning supplies and toilet paper in the bathroom. I kid you not. I thought they were joking with me when they told me that, and that's why I call it the TP tax.
Well, then you better use better toilet paper.
I better use – and what they asked me for is how do you value that? How do you put a value on that? And my response to that, it depends on the demand at the time.
There can be no value on toilet paper. I'm sorry. That's a necessity of life.
Well, if you need it and I have it and you want to buy it, I can sell it to you for any price I want.
Really?
But I digress. The point is, though, is that I never heard of this before. And when I started my business, I got hit with a $5,000 bill. And this was back in 1995 in this tax. That, but you know, people don't know about that. There's a lot of little fees that people don't know that businesses pay, even small businesses.
I know I'm going to make you mad at me, but you know, if you're going to buy a business, you should go in prepared. I get really, 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 for example, upset when people go down and buy a piece of property that's down on the waterfront, and the rains come and it floods their house and their farm or whatever it is, and they go broke, and the government bails them out. They should have had enough initiative to look into that and find out what's going on. And I mean, first of all, you know, you can see if you're in a flood area that usually, but they don't prepare. I mean, people, if they don't prepare, then they need to be ready for the consequences.
Agreed. Now, one thing I will say, getting back to the tax measures here, Measure 66 does have something on it I do like, and that is that, of course, it says it's only for 2009, but it's the first $2,400 in unemployment benefits will not be taxed. I always thought it was stupid to tax unemployment to begin with, but that's but I am glad to see this in this measure, and I would vote in favor of this measure just because of that thing alone.
Well, see, this gets into the stupidity of the government and why the government, our legislature or whomever, I don't know who in this case, is not doing their job. Because the simple fact is, you give the money to people in unemployment, and then you have to come in with an entire system to take it back again.
Right.
Why not just not give it to them in the first place? Which is what other states do. You don't have to pay taxes on unemployment. There's no, I mean, it's just absurd. You're making jobs for somebody or making something. I mean, that's the only thing I can think about this special election. The only people that I can see making any money, our voter pamphlet is 92 pages. Who paid for that? Who printed that? Who made it up? And are they making big bucks? Somebody must be.
Well, let me give out the numbers again, because we've been kind of lacking on that. If you'd like to call and join this conversation, you can do so by dialing 646-721-9887. You can email us at talk@krbnradio.com. Again, remember, we currently do not have the email up on the screen yet. We probably will on our next show. Our chat room is open at www.blogtalkradio.com/KRBN. You're welcome to join in on this topic or any other topics that's on your mind.
Okay, now what screen are you talking about that we don't have the email up on?
No, I don't on my screen. But anyways, I digress.
Oh, you mean you're talking about Blog Talk? Because it's on KRBN.com.
No, I'm talking about talk@krbnradio.com. I don't have an email open on that one.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Not open. Okay.
Right.
I was gonna. You mentioned that. I'd be really interested in finding out what people want to talk about. If anybody has a, one of the things I would like to put out there for somebody who's listening is if you have a conversation, if you have a topic, if you have a subject that you really, really would like to get in and talk about and get it out on the Blog Talk Radio programs, email us and let us know, and we'll actually set up a program specifically with you. We'll put you in on, either you can come in on Skype or on the phone or however you want to become a part of it, but the three of us then sit down and discuss this, and you can get your opinion out, and we'll schedule a whole separate program for it. I mean, we can do that if we want to, and it would be interesting to see if anybody has any opinions that they want to discuss, and I'm ready and willing to discuss anything. I have an opinion on everything, everything.
And I can contest that one.
I would really like to do that. Anybody who wants to suggest something like that or would like to become a part of something like that, make the time, let us know when we can do it, and we'll get together and agree on a time to put it together. Because once it's on the air and in our archives, everybody could hear it, and it becomes a very interesting tool. Mm-hmm. And people do listen. People do listen. How many people did we have listen to the last show?
We had 22 download the archives from the last show.
Right. I mean, that doesn't sound like a lot, but 22 people, and it gets more and more and more, by the way, every week. That's important. That's we could really get somewhere with this. This Blog Talk Radio thing, I think, is a great idea. Yeah.
And for people that don't know Cliff, he's being drug into the internet radio, kicking and screaming, because Cliff has a history. He's basically a terrestrial radio, AM, FM. You know, he's comfortable being behind the mic and talking to massive amount of people over the air on regular radio. And so, but anyway.
Well, the simple fact of the matter is I remember when you first contacted me about Blog Talk Radio, and you were in the middle of doing a show, and I spent 22 minutes trying to find it.
Mm-hmm.
And I never found it, by the way. I never found the live program. And because Blog Talk Radio itself is huge. It is a gargantuan website with thousands and thousands and thousands of people on there talking all at the same time. And so finding one specific thing to look for, if you don't have an exact name or something to put in there, is impossible to do.
Right.
So that's why I was, at that particular time, against what was going on. But the point is, we have made it possible. There are websites now. KRBNradio.com is easy to find. Anybody can put KRBNradio.com on up on your computer, and Blog Talk Radio is over on the right hand side. Cliff Radio, CLIFRadio.com, is easy to remember and easy to put up, and it's got Blog Talk Radio over on the side. We're going to make this so easy to get to and so easy to access that
don't
everybody
say it.
Can get part of.
Don't say it.
What?
The caveman can do it. All right. Well, anyways, back to the measure of the topic of today. I mean, we're done plugging our show here. but back to measure 6667, which is our topic of the day, ladies and gentlemen. Again, you can a quick little plug, since I thought we were done with plugs, is if you'd like to join in the last 16 minutes of the show, you can give us a call at 646-721-9887 or join us in our chat room. Again, one of the things that throws up or a question that I have is I'm looking at the voters, not the pamphlet, but the actual ballot itself and the summary on it. And one of the things I'm seeing is they're talking about the pros and the cons, the summary, and what if it doesn't go through. And let me just read this from the the voters thing. It says, failure of the measure will reduce revenues expected to be available for expenditures in the 2009-2011 state budget by $472 million. This could result in reduced state shared revenues to schools, local governments. Failure of the measure may also result in reduction of federal funds that are used to pay for some state services. It'll also, failure of the measure may limit the state's ability to borrow. It may also have a negative impact on the state's credit rating, which could increase the cost of future borrowing by the state and local governments.
The simple fact is the future borrowing is up at is you don't know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Did anybody ever mention the fact that we just went through a point where almost all of the banks went bankrupt? Borrowing is a thing that's going to change, folks. That whole system has got to change. We can't spend our lives living on borrowed money. It's not going to continue to happen because everybody is now borrowing. Everybody's living on credit, and credit goes away. I mean, credit just gets overextended and dies. We just went through this. Doesn't anybody ever read the news or listen or watch to the news? Hello? It isn't going to happen. It's going to stay. It's going to be different. And so that's a moot point. That is not an acceptable point to be making for this or anything else. They were taught, what is the figure you said, $400 million?
It was $442 million per year.
That's down from the $733 million that I read about. And even the $733 million is not going to make any difference, folks. I'm sorry. I'm going to vote yes for it, yes. But it's not going to make any difference if it actually gets voted down or not voted for or however you want to put it. It's just, I mean, what percentage of $13 billion is $733 million? Less than 1%.
Mm-hmm.
Less than 1%. So if everything that we spend money on is adjusted by less than 1%, it's going to be very little that anybody notices. Now, if they pick that, if they pick the one particular thing, like they decide to spend, they decide to cut $733 million off of schools, and that's the only thing that they're going to cut it off of, it might be noticeable. But how many schools, how much money do we spend on the state school system? Even that is not going to be a big difference if they chop the $733 million, and if it's only $433 million, it's less than 0.5%. So we're it's stupid. This whole thing is stupid. There's not enough money involved to make it worthwhile.
Well, and my argument is like, all right, like they're saying, like, well, it's only a nickel increase in this fee, for example. Well, yeah, one nickel is not a big thing. Add, 2,000 things that add a simple little nickel onto a fee, and now you got a big chunk of money coming up. But it's all tiny little fees. It's not really going to make much of a difference. Again, it goes back to my point, is where does it stop? When I'm cutting back because my budget is so bad right now. My fees are going up. 2010, the fees aren't just for our telephone. Basic services went up. Garbage has gone up. My income hasn't gone up.
Mine's gone away.
Yeah, that's my point. And I'm watching my budget very tight. I personally cannot afford an increase in expenditures out of my budget. So when I see the government, and I'm probably going to see this until I'm blue in the face, if I see them cutting back on what I consider foo-foo stuff, then, yeah, I can go ahead and say, okay, well, maybe, they really do need the money. They are going to spend it wisely. We're going to get the police protection, the necessity of schools, or at least enough to get them the supplies and stuff that the kids need. And, there's some extracurricular stuff that, in my opinion, they don't need, that we don't need to pay for. Then, yeah, I will turn in some cans and bottles to try to give you some extra money. But when I see them spending, like, for example, I know this is kind of related but not, $100 million on a bus. What we have in downtown Eugene Springfield, that EMX system. Those buses are $100,000 a piece.
Oh, okay. That's better than $100 million.
Well, the thing is, now 14-mile stretch, I'll just refer to the Franklin Boulevard one because I know the numbers on that one. That 14-mile stretch, which is supposed to knock off 5 minutes of your commute between Eugene and Springfield, is $29 million.
Right.
Now, even experts say we're too small for that type of expenditure. LTD said they didn't have money. They had to start laying people off. But then all of a sudden, we got this project. And most of it is funded by state and federal funds, which gets back to it's our money again.
Well, see, this is what I'm talking about, though. This is the kind of thing that is going to have to be adjusted. It's simply going to have to be adjusted. We have to make adjustments in order to live in the rest of the world. And it's going to happen. It's going to happen, ready or not, and this is all part of it. So if this doesn't pass, then fine. If it does pass, it's really not a big thing. But if it doesn't pass, something else is going to happen. I mean, the adjustments are going to be made. The whole world is making these adjustments. And rather than spend huge amounts of money trying to do this little bit here, this little piddly ass $733 million, isn't accomplishing anything, just isn't accomplishing anything. We need to get our legislators and senators and everybody sitting up there and thinking a little bit more about the big picture. They aren't spending their money on the big picture. It's just gimme, 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 gimme. Figure out how to do this. And, of course, unfortunately, your foo-foo things, what you think are foo-foo things, may not be what somebody else is thinking is foo-foo things. Did I lose you? I'm not hearing you at all if you're hearing me.
Oh, there I am. Springfield bus people, for example, again, for the LTD system, $90,000 for a large funnel.
Funnel?
Funnel. It's a giant funnel.
What's a funnel?
Funnel.
What
you
is
know,
it?
Like things you pour into.
Right.
It's a two-story funnel. It's a decoration.
So is it art?
It's art.
Okay.
$90,000.
Well, again, that's minuscule. $90,000 is minuscule. Whether it's a necessity or whether it's not, you know, art is so subjective. Art is so subjective. People pay millions of dollars for paintings that look like crap. Paintings that are that a monkey could do and probably do better, and they pay millions of dollars for it. So, you know, they say sit there, and I honestly don't believe they think it's pretty. I think they're just doing it to show off that they have money, but because they can't possibly say that montage or hodgepodge or whatever you want to call it is pretty. You got to be kidding. So a funnel. I mean, at least a funnel, we have an idea of what it is, but you're right. I'm all for art. I think art is fine. I don't necessarily think we should spend a huge amount of money, but we need to have art. But we need to have, again, that's one of the things that people need to donate it.
I'll go along with you on that. Like, for example, and by the way, in the last 7 minutes of the show, you know, you can still an opportunity to call in, 646-721-9887 and join the conversation. I have a picture of... Now, a lot of people, unless you know what a typewriter is, you know, this generation hasn't even used a typewriter, much less know what it is, of a giant typewriter eraser rolling down a hill.
Okay. That's all right.
Yeah. But I don't know how much they paid for it because this is Washington State that has it. But, chances are it came out of the – I'm assuming it came out of the city funds, but – again, art. I have no problem with art. I have a problem with over, costing too much. But I also have a problem with it if we need something that's more important, more of a necessity.
If we're gonna have to have a special election, let's have a special election and include in there some of these art projects so people can decide whether it's an art project or not. I mean, a typewriter eraser rolling down a hill, is that art? I mean, let's if we're going to spend our money frivolously, let's put that on there and let people decide if a typewriter eraser rolling down a hill is art.
Bingo.
I mean, come up with some options or something. You know, maybe a funnel is art, maybe it isn't art. Let us make the decision. We don't get to make the decision on stuff like that spends our money, and that's almost as frivolous as this $703 million out of a $13 billion budget. That's almost as frivolous.
And you hit the point right on the head. It's just, just like in the measure here, it's about spending for schools, local governments. For one thing, we need to, if we're going to vote in favor of it, we need to have something in place that says this is where the money's going to go. It's not going to be thrown into like what they're saying here, the general fund or the big pot that anybody can take something out of.
But that doesn't do anything. People have, I mean, you can say it's going to be spent on XXX, but they're still going to spend it anywhere they want to, because they're going to take money that they did spend on XXX and spend it somewhere else. So it's still basically coming out of the general fund.
So how do you put controls on? How do you put checks and balances
you
on?
Don't. You don't. You don't do that. You just stop giving them the money. Mm-hmm. That's what the election is all about. Vote no. Simple as that. Vote no. They don't get the money. Then they can't spend it on frivolous things or good things.
And unless they try to do like what they did in Eugene regarding the gas tax. We voted no. They put it in anyways.
Well, see, that's what, okay, that I don't quite understand. I'd have to look into that more. But the fact is they were going to do this anyway. And then somebody got wind of it and got enough signatures on a petition to demand the vote. And I think that's a good system. But don't demand the vote in the middle of everything. We got one coming up in a very short time. They're only 2 years apart, folks. Then let's put them in at the next 2 years or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, this is all a part of some sort of checks and balances on our legislature, because they were just going to enact this, period. And somebody got, you know, and I guess I'm going to have to backtrack a tiny little bit, at least for this person, whoever got the idea of bringing this to a vote. Good for you. Good for you.
Agreed.
At least you make them think. Now let's see. And now here we go. I just made the comment that I was going to vote yes. And now I'm just saying, vote it down. Teach them a lesson. But will it? No.
No.
It won't. We've got to vote down all these things. And we've got, because, and it's going to, what's going to teach them a lesson, and it's going to happen regardless of how we vote for this, what's going to teach them a lesson is the economy. The world economy is falling apart, folks. And we've got to rebuild it. We've got to revamp it. Not rebuild it, but rearrange. And it's not just us. It's everybody. And it's going to happen. This is not a maybe or could be. It's just like global warming. We didn't do anything about global warming. We have nothing to do with global warming, but it's going to happen.
Right.
It's going to happen, because you can look back and look at the trends, and it's going to happen. And so, no, instead of trying to point at whose fault it is, let's get prepared for it.
Well, the downside in the last 2 minutes of the show, we tried to put more things out on a ballot, and the feedback that we got is, there's too much on the ballot. It's too much to think of. It's too much for this. It's like, we need to have more than one thing. We need to be more involved with what goes on in the government, make them more accountable. If they're going to spend money, they need not have to. They not have the power to just go say, okay, I'm going to take more money out of your paycheck. It needs to go for a vote of the people. And if they people feel like myself, if I felt like my money is going to be spent wisely, then I'll vote yes. So.
Well, then you're not going to vote yes on anything.
Well,
because I have never seen the money spent wisely in Salem or in Washington D.C.
Right, and I don't. Anytime there's a tax, I vote no.
And a lot of people are doing that.
Yeah.
A lot of people are doing that. And, you know, wait until we vote to adjust the tax system, then I'm gonna. Well, okay, so I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to vote no. Mm-hmm. You've changed my mind. Or I don't know if you were even trying to. But I've decided that's it. That's it. I'm going to vote no.
Okay, and with that, we're out of time, folks. Again, appreciate you tuning in and being a participant. We are going to try and do the Oregon Update at least weekly. We'll try to do it more often. Again, you can send us an email with your comments at talk@krbnradio.com, or you can do it on Blog Talk Radio itself. And Cliff, again.
And to find out when and where, krbnradio.com.